Amen. Good morning. Amen. Glad to see one here this morning. Amen. Glad to have, not visitors, but people that's been here before. Glad to see you again. We've got a few requests here. Sister Charlotte texted me and said she's got stomach virus. So remember Sister Charlotte. And also Joyce texted and said Danny's still sick. Remember Brother Danny? He's got COVID and he's been having pneumonia and things. So just remember him. Amen. Angie Brown has an unspoken request. Anna Roberts has got a headache this morning. It's not Richard. She's got a real headache. So just remember and help her today also while she's at home. And also mom's stomach's not feeling well. So just remember that also as we pray. The ones I have. And just remember the ones that we pray for on a regular basis. All the other ones.
Sister Kathy was dizzy this morning when she woke up, so she won't be at church.
Remember Sister Kathy. Still remember Sister Kathy and the family and all those. And the other ones we pray for, Sister Cleta and all the other ones that we pray for on a regular basis. Brother Colin, Brother Darty, and Sister Johnny, Sister Jean, Brother Howell. Brother Al and Sister Anna, remember them with a special prayer also. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that may be traveling today, wherever they may be. Come down and bless them, be with them, and guide them. Lord, be with our services here this morning. Give Dad strength, Lord, and give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Lord, we have mentioned people that are sick. Remember Sister Charlotte and Brother Danny and Lord, Mom and Anna and all the ones that are sick, Lord, and ones that we pray for, Sister Kathy Gabriel and the family. Lord, continue blessing them. Bless us. Remember Brother Bob's preaching up in Blue Ridge, Lord. Be with the family there and be with the church there also. Be with us and guide us. Forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Oh, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Oh, Lord, I believe. Oh, stone is rolled away, and Christ is alive in my heart, and death, which is conquered, oh, in me, hath no part, for Christ is alive.
A reality to each of us this morning. Really appreciate the service yesterday being in attendance. I tell you, when you go to a memorial service and it comes out a church service, it doesn't feel like a memorial service. So I tell you, it's wonderful to know that Christ is alive.
Amen.
And not just alive in your heart. Amen. You have a relationship with him. Brother Michael, would you come this morning and take up the tithes and offering for us? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand as he's taking the offering this morning. And let's sing that chorus, "He Paid a Debt," in key of C. We're going to ask Brother Donnie to get ready for the responsive reading this morning. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Brand new song, amazing grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Oh, he paid a debt I didn't know. He cleansed my soul and set me free. Glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, amazing grace. Appreciate you. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Amen. What a beautiful song. Good to see everybody here in the house this morning. And had a beautiful time yesterday at Brother Ray's memorial.
Amen.
It was very special. It's good to see y'all again. As we're going to read this morning from Psalms 37, 1 through 20. And before we go there, let's speak to the author. Ask his permission. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, giving us to come and gather around your word and come into your house, Lord, to hear your word that's been prepared, Father, by your servants. We ask you to just touch and bless Brother Dale as he's preparing to bring the word to us this morning, Father, and you just use that body to thy will, Lord. And Father, most of all, this afternoon, bless Brother Wade as he's bringing the word to us, Lord. And Father, most of all, as we hear your word these days, open our ears, Lord. Open that channel that goes straight to our souls, Lord, and just feed our hungry souls, Lord, with your word, and have your way with us that we might be manifested to the price of that perfection, Father, that you're bringing us to. It's now as we go to your word, Lord, we ask and touch and bless each one that didn't make it through the doors today. Whatever the hindrance is, just be with them and bless them, Lord, and strengthen them. Peace and joy be in their hearts. We ask these things in your precious name. You have your way with us now. Lead and guide us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we read Psalms 137, we're going to read 1 through 20. I was sitting this morning and already prepared to do this, and all of a sudden I jumped over to another Psalms and almost got confused on which one it was we're going to read, because they're all good. There's none of them bad. They're all good. As we read first one, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity.
For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and withered as the green herb.
Trust in the Lord, and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed.
Delight thyself also.
Amen. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday.
Rest in the Lord and wait." Whoops. Paper's sticking together. "Patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass.
Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil.
For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace.
The wicked plot against the just, and gnashes upon him with his teeth.
The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming.
The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation.
Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken.
Amen.
For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume unto smoke, shall they consume away. Amen. Be seated. Thank you.
Amen. You know, that's one of my favorite scriptures. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Then I've got to thinking, how do you delight yourself? What does that mean? So I looked up that word delight, and it means to be soft. To be happy about it. To be merry. Make yourself happy in the Lord. Rejoice when you come to the Lord. Be soft about it. And he'll give you the desires of your heart. It's all in just your approach and attitude. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to page 373 in the Spiral Songbook. We'll sing this song in a chorus. I believe Brother Aaron and Sister Esther and the family there, they have a special they want to sing this morning, and we're happy they're here to worship with us. We come to worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Once my heart and soul was fettered by the binding chains of sin, oh, but the great emancipator said,
so peace.
sing that last verse again. Oh, like a lost lamb I was drifting. Oh, so helpless and alone. But the seeking shepherd found. Are you happy for that this morning?
I've had questions for tomorrow. They've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to make me strong. And it is
through it all. I've learned
to trust in Jesus.
I've learned to trust in God.
Oh, through it all.
Through it all. Upon His Word. I've been a lot of places, and I've seen lots of faces. There have been times when I felt so all alone. For in that lonely hour, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was his own, and he's brought me through it all,
through it all.
I've learned to trust in Jesus.
I've learned
that he is God.
Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. So I thank God for the mountain,
and I thank him for the valley.
I thank him for the storms that he's brought me through.
For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God's word could do. And he's brought me
through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned that he is God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. So I'll thank God for the mountain,
and I thank him for the valleys.
I thank him for the storms that he's brought me through.
For if I've never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. I never know what faith in my God could do. And he's brought me
through it all.
He's brought me
through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned that he is God. Upon his word.
Yes, I've learned
to depend upon his word.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hope you're standing on that rock this morning. You're depending upon him. Amen. Let's all stand, and we'll change the order of the service as a brother comes out. Amen. All minds and hearts clear this morning. Hallelujah. Through it all, we're depending upon him. You know, I was listening the other day. Brother Brown said, never be self-sufficient. Always depend upon him. Be simple. Open your heart. Because without him, I mean, he's the potter, we're the clay. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. To see you high and lifted up.
look around. There he is. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We're glad to have the Collins family with us, or church. They all came up to be with us today and everything. We appreciate them coming and all. And just our brother was telling me yesterday that he's been ministering to the church there. So that's good to have somebody to where you can have a church to go to and all. It's a great thing. So, you know, pray that the Lord would take care of him and give him whatever is to be said to the people and to be led on in that. And we just appreciate it. He said he was having to lead singing and then preach. I said, well, I've been through some of them things myself, you know, a few times and where we had to depend on one person or something to do everything. But God will bless and take care of it. He'll bring it all to pass and do it all. So just remember them and remember the families there. But just remember Sister Kathy and the Gabriel family. The Lord would be with them in this time of the loss of the loved one and all. And we had an opportunity yesterday to just kind of talk a little bit about Brother Ray and have a memorial and not a funeral, because I don't like funerals. That's all right, but we have to have them. But why not have a memorial? And because that person's not there, see, you know, it's, that person's done gone on. So they're not there. You can look around and see a casket. You can look around and see a body. You can look around and see whatever they call that, the urn or what it is to do, you know, for the ashes. You can have all of that, but still, that's nothing. They're not there anyway. It doesn't go on. And they're waiting on us. Amen. That's the main thing. See, all of these has gone on before us. They are waiting on us to come to that place. So we have a good job to do, right? Okay, remember that. Remember Anna's sick this morning with a headache. Keep her in your prayers and things, and just remember that. Let's see. I wrote my own self a note, Cora. Yeah, I want to thank everybody for all of the things there, the birthday gifts and things that we received last week. We had a good time and all, and the cake and ice cream, and then had the fellowship together, and we appreciate that for doing. There was one present gave to me, and I thought, well, Nanny said first that we ought to just wire that. Well, we decided that wasn't the right way to do, but maybe they can pull up enough to be able to see what we've got. Tell me if you got it zeroed in. Okay. If I need to move or whatever, you know, can you read that? It says, I look 29. I feel 28. I act 24. But I'm really 81. See, if you add up all them numbers, you get 81. So I'm 81. So that's the point, you know, that the shirt tells it all. I'm just 81. I'm an 81-year-old kid living in an old body and looking forward to being back young again one of these days and have a glorious time together in the Lord. All right, if you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Romans 8. Let's see. Brother Bob is up preaching at Blue Ridge, so remember him and pray that the Lord would bless. Brother Aaron will be ministering this coming Wednesday, so remember that. And Bible study this coming Saturday. Okay. Now we're going to our times of having our Bible study. So if you want to come on Saturday and be with us, you know, and have a good time together, we fellowship together. We can kind of scatter out in the basement and have time together and a little fellowship and thing, and have questions and answers. Now, I love questions and answers. I do that. That's one thing that, you know, to me could be every service could be questions and answers, because, you know, that's the point. I love to have questions and answers. So if you have something on your heart, come and we'll just sit down and talk about it and you know, be able to do that this coming weekend at 6:00. All right. Then let's see. You'll be gone. Yeah. We was planning on going to have what was, we have to cancel off, but we can.
We're not going to have Sunday school this coming Sunday.
Right. May the 9th, we'll start our Sunday school classes, okay? So that way we'll get it all together and have all of the doing of that part. So remember all of these. Anything else? Pray for Brother Danny. He's having still a lot of problems. He has the virus, and now, you know, they're having a lot of trouble because he had pneumonia, too, when he went to the doctor the other day. So just keep him in your prayers. Joyce and them have kind of, they're okay. They're blending in and doing, but still it's hard to live in that situation sometimes of pneumonia and things. It'll get a hold of you, and it leaves you wore out. So just remember Danny, remember Joyce, and Hope, and all that. Remember all of the little bride. Anybody else I've always missed, you know, always, as Terrence said, he covers it on a good point. He said, all those that we're praying for all the time. Well, we may not call your name, but we just pray, you know, for everybody that is sick among us, and pray that the Lord would reach down and touch. And that way all of our names are called. It's all into that, okay? All right, so we're going to Romans 11, and then we'll go to Psalms 68. All right, so we go to Romans 11 and pick up our a couple of scriptures we want to deal with, and then going into our thought. Yeah. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace unto us. Thank you for all things. Thank you for your love unto us. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless and guide each one. Be in the service today and bless all of us together. Bless Sister Collins and all of the little group there from Lincolnton, Lord, and just be with them and be with our brother as he's starting out into the ministry and young and all. But Lord, he can be used if he'll just follow you. He may not think he's got anything, but if he can put it in your hands, it can turn out to be a lot of doing, and he can direct the family along in the things of life. And Lord, we pray you just bless, forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, remember the sick, and just have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's going to be kind of a odd part to take, but you just bear with us. And so we're going to Romans, where we've been reading, and we'll just read verse 29 of Romans 11. And it says, for the gifts, now watch, gifts, plural, all right, and calling, singular. So there's just really one calling. All are called by the same blood of Jesus Christ, the same atonements, etc. But there's many gifts in the body of Christ, all right? So for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You don't have to repent to get a gift. See, that's where Brother Brown said he differed with the, I believe it was Latter Rain Brethren or something, but he said that they believed he laid on the hands for gifts and things. He said, that's not true. He said, you're born with a gift. It doesn't come by laying on of hands. That stirs up the gift. What is it? The scripture says, are you know, the gift that was in thee from thy grandmother coming. Well, the gift wasn't from grandmother. The gift was the faith of the grandmother applied coming down till when it did, she just would lay hands on. And I believe in laying hands. We ordain ministers. We ordain deacons, etc. Because we believe in it. I believe in laying on hands. The prophet believed in that, but not believing of laying on hands to give you a gift, but to stir up the gift that's already there from God himself, because that's the only one that's worth anything. All right, so now let's go to Psalms 68. I may have put these in backwards to them, but we'll get it anyway. Psalm 68, verse 18. Now watch. Now this is the Old Testament looking forward. So that's, you know, my point was what on the life service. We went backward. We go back into the mind of God. We talk about the gifts and the callings, etc., and believing it. And then we keep on to reach our destiny, because that's what we believe in. What? You are predestinated by foreknowledge. Not that God desired anybody to be lost, etc. He desired all to be saved. But he predestinated by his foreknowledge. All right? See, then if you have a gift within you, we're not going to pray for you to necessarily work that gift. We pray that God will anoint you, and He can take care of those things, and we do it in that style because that's the way. All right, see, watch. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also. That the Lord God might dwell among you. Now, go over to Ephesians 4 while you're doing it. I'll say this word about it. Think about it. Now remember, the prophet says everybody. I gave it to you last week. We'll go back through it. Everybody is born with a gift of some kind. Because you're a human being. All right? You have a gift. It may be to sew or cook or work on cars or whatever. But God can take that and activate it, as we'll go through the message, and bring it out to being worth something. All right? But see, all the way back there now, the psalmist, looking forward to Calvary, and he says, thou hast ascended on high. We know what that's for, huh? Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. See, receive. If you receive something, there's got to be somebody to give it. All right? So then gifts and callings of God. Gifts and calling of God. All right? But for the rebellious, why? Because everybody has a gift. All right, Ephesians. I don't remember where I put that on there for him to use it, but, you know, we can get to that point. Okay. Ephesians 4. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Right back to the psalmist, telling you what's taking place. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, talking about gifts. Now watch what he says. And he gave some. He's talking about gifts now. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I want you to keep in mind what we will be dealing with for a while, and I'll keep repeating it because I want you to understand what I'm talking about. Then you can decide whether or not you believe that. That's left up to you. But see, if we can believe the word of God, then all things are possible to them that believe. So why are we concerned about anything? I'm not concerned about missing it or something. Why? Because God already, even back a psalmist, even back there, the psalmist David, or Saul, I mean, you know, in the David, psalmist David, in his speaking, he would say he led captivity. He's looking forward, as I said, to Calvary. And he's saying, even the rebellious. Well, you mean God would deal with rebellious people? I thank God he's always dealt with us. You know, we didn't all come into the world being too good of a background, right? But he'll promised it, all right? So he said it back there. He said he would give gifts. He received gifts. All right? Now here he says that he's going to give gifts to the church. And he names it. He names the fivefold ministry. All right? Then he says, And that fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. Right? See, it's got the answer to it. He's got it all set out for us. But we've got to follow the right way. Now, the prophet said that this way. He said, ever how you treat the ministry is the way you're treating God. You honor the ministry, God will honor you. You dishonor the ministry, he'll dishonor you, but he'll also do one thing. He'll take out the ministry. Come on. Go to the church age book and pick up where your prophet shows it. How that he would take out. He will take away your minister. Well, you say, well, we got a lot of days. We're in the days where there's a lot of preachers done this, that, or the other. We got a lot of we're in a day when we got a lot of people that's gone this way or the other. But that ain't got nothing to do with me and you. Me and you better be concerned what we're doing here in our little assembly and what we're gathered for and the things, you know, to be able to put our part. And see, everybody has a part. We are the body of Christ, correct? And being the body of Christ, each individual has something to do. Well, I don't have nothing to do, Brother Dale. I've sat here for years and nobody's told me what to do. Well, listen, gifts are without repentance. So you don't repent to get a gift. So it's not you come up to the front here and say, Brother Dale, lay hands on me, that I get a gift to help the church. It wouldn't work anyway. Come on, am I right with the prophet the way he said it? He said, if you volunteer to do something, you got a lot of problems. Right. But if God has to run you down and knock you down, you can be used. Right. That's Wade, what he said when he came to me and he said, Daddy, I got something I want to talk to you about. I said, you don't want to talk to me. He said, you know what I'm talking about? I said, I've known what you're talking about for many years. Just waiting on you. I said, if you don't believe me, go ask your mother. That I told her that you would be coming back to the Lord. Not only that, that you would be right here standing beside of me as a minister in this church. I told her that 2 or 3 years before Wade came back, or many years before. And we believed it and accepted it. Well, see, then, he said, what to do? What do you say I do? I said, run. Ask him. You know how it would be with most ministers in this message if their son come up and said, well, I've got it. I believe I'm called. Daddy, you think I ought to go to preach? Oh, yes, sir. You're called. We're going to put you right in here. No, I said, uh-uh. I said, run. I said, run until he runs you down. I said, run until you can't run no more. Then when you do, I said, cause the prophet said, if you volunteer for something, you won't ever do it right. But if it's not, then you'll find it'll work. He came to me one day and he said, cause I didn't tell him about the part of the ministry when that was first happened. I told him about the Lord showing him coming back. And he come back and, you know, and he told me, he said, well, Daddy said, I feel like this. I said, yeah, that's part of what the Lord showed me. You'd be standing beside him in the ministry. All right. See why? Because I believe in gifts and callings as being without repentance. You don't repent. You don't volunteer for a gift. Not in the Bible now. We're in everything else. You got gifts, you give people, but not in the Bible terminologies. In the Bible terminologies, you've got things that are odd being said that you have to have sometimes help breaking it down to be able to comprehend what's being said. All right? And see, then that way gifts and calling. But he says, make your calling and election sure. All right? Brother up in Tennessee years ago, he had backslid and things, and He's telling me he's one day that he said, "How is it I still get messages?" He said, "I know I'm backslid. I know I'm not right with God." We said, "I still get messages. Just like I did." I said, "That's the gift." I said, that has nothing to do with you. That's the gift. The gift is still there. It'll always be there. Because the gift comes from God. Now the psalmist said it did because he said he received gifts for men. Did you catch the way he said it in the psalm? It was for men. In other words, future tense. Huh? And then when he comes up here to Ephesians, then he just lays it out what it is. All right? See, then that's what we need to understand and to make sure we don't forget. Think about this. See, gifts. There's many gifts. Everybody has a gift of some kind. And a natural gift. You have natural gifts that you come into the world, you can do things that other people can't do, right? You can do something that other people, they just can't do it. They just go haywire trying to figure it out. Why? Because it's a gift. All right? It's a natural gift. Okay? Now, that's great to be that way, but what about when God can take that gift and activate it for the gospel? Right? Take your gift. Activate it. He can. That's what they said, you know, laying on hands. See, they got confused about it. It's not laying on hands to get a gift. It's laying on hands to activate the gift. Or to bring the gift alive. And see? Then you can use it. You know that Brother Branham said that every church would be responsible for what they do with the gifts? Oh, but we don't believe in gifts. We don't believe in speaking in tongues, shouting and crying. Show me where it was took out of the Bible. I'll show you where it was put in. You show me where it was took out. Not so. It's there. And if we don't use it, we'll have to give an account. So then that's what we're trying to say there last Sunday about it, that even your natural life, you have gifts and things, knowledge and different things, you know, understanding and things. You have wisdom and you have many, many gifts.
Amen.
All right? That can be in a person. And that gift can be operating before you ever even start the fact of being born again.
Oh, yeah.
See? You get somebody that's kind of like myself, you'd never think it, but when I was up to about 16 years of age, I was so bashful until I would not look at you when you were talking to me. Sure is odd now, ain't it? Because I just couldn't do it. I was too bashful. Well, I began to try to get rid of that, and I thought, well, my goodness now, why am I supposed to be bashful? I'm just as good as they are. I'm come out of the same dirt everybody else comes. And that's the only thing that I've ever tried to teach my kids or anything. Teach them to be what they're supposed to be. Put forth their gifts. If they could play ball, play ball. You know, if they could learn to work on cars, learn to work on cars. Whatever it was. Some natural part of your life would fall in line and you'd see it would just be an automatic process.
Right.
Well, you know what? Being a Christian is an automatic process.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
You remember how we were trying to bring it out? At least you'd cover three stages of the fact of you do it. There's gifts of the natural. That you have gifts in your life. You was able to do things in your life that other people were not able to do. All right. Then you come into the Christian realm and you got nine spiritual gifts.
That's right.
Amen. All right. 2 Corinthians covers 12 and 13. It covers the gifts. There's many gifts, and see, the Holy Spirit can come on you and activate a natural gift, giving you the new birth, and turn that into a spiritual, heavenly understanding. And put that gift to work. Then you can see that the people, you know, you say, well, it just come to me where I have discernment. I just, you know, the Lord's showing me things. Well, praise God. Huh? Praise God, then let that act be activated. Like I said, I was so bashful until it was just pitiful. You wouldn't think that now for nothing in the world. Because you see, I turned that around to where that I would not be the bashful part and started working upon those natural things. Well, see, then when I become born again, then it was easy to step into line, you know, a point. And at 23 years of age, I was a deacon in a Baptist church. They saw the gifts was there, the things that, you know, that I had understanding of the scriptures, that I had things that, you know, they enjoyed it. And when I quit the Baptist church, I had to resign from about 5 offices that I was working in. And one of them was teaching the adult Sunday school class, which was the deacons and elders and their wives, the adults. That was what I was doing, and I was only in my 20s. You don't know this, see, but you ask somebody, say, how old was you when you become a deacon? 40. How old was you? What? Yeah, 50. You just don't, you wasn't back there. It might be changed now, but back there, you didn't become a deacon at 23 years of age. You understand? They saw there was something about it that they even went into that. And ordained me a deacon. I was well thought of in the reference rooms of the Baptist ranks. I could go to the meetings. I could do. Why? Because I had got rid of that natural thing and come to the point of believing the new birth as far as I could understand. I put it that way for correctly because I didn't claim the new birth at that point. But as much as I can understand, but it began to develop into the point that God could use me into doing things. And, you know, you'd have to come in up in the ranks with us. But in the Baptist, they'd pretty well give like Wade's a Sunday school teacher. They'd give him a book to go by and stories in the book. And you know, everybody had to lay out according to that. Well, they gave them to me and I just laid it down. And when I'd just start talking to the people. You know, you remember how I told you the other day about Brother Gary Atkins, you know, when he told me, he said, they want me to be a teacher, Sunday school teacher. He said, but I can't teach. I said, they're very easy. Because Brother Gary had already passed over. He wasn't in the bashful stages. He's beyond all of that. He was, you know. I said, just read Romans 1 and start talking. He came back 3 or 4 weeks later and I said, how's it going? He said, I ain't got out of Romans 1 yet. I said, I tried to tell you that if you'll just let God just yield to him, then the gift will come to working. Because there's 9 spiritual gifts that are in the body of Christ that you're not even talking about fivefold ministry and things. That's why I'm having to divide that and put it as natural gifts. And then for you to think about, then let God come and give you a new birth, and then let that start activating that natural gift and bringing it into understanding that it can be used. And then maybe one day you might be called to be a minister. All right? And see, that's the things that we need to understand. I've tried to explain the fivefold ministry to the people of this message, and I've had so much trouble with it until I finally got where I said, forget it. I just won't try to explain what I see. But the Bible said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers. Well, you know what? And I found one the other day where the prophet said it. He said, he give you what you have need of. He said, some people need a pastor. Some people need a teacher. I mean, you've told me that from your own words, you know. Well, Brother Dale, I like the way you do because I like a teacher. But some others would go, you know, maybe even leave the church or whatever because they didn't understand what that is. And they'd rather have an evangelist. Well, you know, that could be part of a doing. But get what I'm talking about. See, you have natural gifts that can work on into the rest of your life and work, and you become to where that you can, God can activate those things. And then there's 9 spiritual gifts in the body of Christ, in the church. And those 9 spiritual gifts, Brother Branham uses them. Now listen to the wording. He uses the 9 spiritual gifts and says they are for the perfecting of the saints. See, then the Bible goes on over and picks up the 5-fold ministry and said it's for the perfecting of the saints. And you remember how the gifts there are in? See, there's a lot of difference between a prophet and a gift of prophecy. There's a lot of difference in wisdom, knowledge, and things of those things that are in the gifts. Go to Rome, go to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, excuse me. About 12 and 13, and study the gifts. Because Paul then turns around and says, desire the most earnest gift, or the best. See, he wasn't satisfied for the people to just sit down with a gift. I'm not satisfied with that. I've had people to tell me, so Brother Dale, I believe I have a gift. I said, don't worry about it. I won't set you down. But you know what I'm talking about? Some of the preachers in this message, you'd start doing it, and man, they just shut you down and tell you to shut up. Because they don't believe in the gifts. Well, I believe in all of the gifts. I believe in the 9 spiritual gifts. I believe in those things, but I believe that they are without a calling like we think they are. You can't practice it or work it up. Well, we'll send him to school. Now you see why the prophet was against that. See, we'll send him to school. We'll let him go to school and learn how to be a preacher. Now how are you going to learn how to be a preacher? Well, you can learn how to be them like most people are. Because they're not a God-called preacher. They're just a preacher. But see, you can't do that. Even the gifts of the 9 spiritual gifts. The prophet said you can prophesy one time. That gift can operate on you and you prophesy one time. And he said never use you again. Now that's a gift in the body of Christ. That you can have a wisdom, knowledge, and things. Go into the love, joy, peace. And go into to help work into the stature of a perfect man. Because that's how it works. For these virtues to come into the body of Christ, you need help a lot of times. All right, that's to help. That's even just the 9 spiritual gifts. Amen. Work in that to help. See? All right. But you understand what I'm getting at. See, then you have the gifts. Well, you're going to be responsible for not using it. But Brother Dale, I'm afraid of... Well, what do you think I'm doing? I'm having to stand up here before the whole congregation. I'm having to leave myself open to everybody in the building. To say, if you don't agree with me, come and tell me. Show me where I missed it. All right? But you see what I'm getting at? See, you got the natural gifts of life. God can move that over into a realm and putting you in the new birth and putting you in the body of Christ and activate those gifts that way that you'll wind up to be what he wants you to be in the 9 spiritual gifts that's in the body.
That's right.
Right? And it'll work.
Amen.
See? You know, I wish I could sing. I'm like Brother Branham. That's one of those things that I wish I could do. If I could sing like some of you can, Michael gets up here, I won't punch him in the nose. Why? Because he just flows. Aaron, he just, you know, he just flows. Well, I can't do that. Because in a minute I'm going to go, you know, it's up and down, it'll run out somewhere. I can bass a little bit, you know, sang a little bit on that line. But I wish I could sing to the glory of God. Huh? I honor, like, George Beverly Shea, I believe is his name, with Billy Graham. He had a marvelous voice. I mean, it was just marvelous that the man could sing for the glory of the Lord. Huh? But you get what I'm talking about? See, God can work with you in what you've got. Don't worry about trying to volunteer it. See? The Bible says for us to wait on our gift. You know. Don't go out and jump out and run like everything with it. You know, I'm maybe I shouldn't say it, but I'm just human enough. And I try to get points across to you that I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I know I do. But have you ever noticed people that can't sing, they're going to sing four verses out of the song. They're going to pick up. That's only got three verses. There's one with four. Now, that's dirty, but is it true? Right? See, at least I tell you I'm straight. I'm honest about it. I sit there sometimes and say, well, hey, take off verse four. Because you hadn't got verse one right yet. I know, that's accolading. But it'll make you practice. Practice your gift. Work on it. Put it to work. See? You know what I'm talking about. Some people are just, we always call it wrong, but we always say that brother or sister one's got a gift to gab. It's always been said about Aaron, but I won't never call it that way. Anyway. Yeah. Brother Aaron could walk, he could stand out there and talk to a power pole all day long. You say, you're throwing off? No. That's a gift. He can do it. He can talk to things. He can do things. But see, I want it to be for point for nothing else, for us to see that God wants what, he wants to take what we've got, but he wants to activate that and continually just keep activating it. All right? Because you got the natural gifts, all right? Then you got the nine spiritual gifts in the body of Christ that God can use those gifts. But that don't mean you're a preacher. But here's where the problem with people is. They get a calling in their life to move up a little bit. And as they do, and I knew this in the Baptist church because I believed it and I've always taught it since coming out. See? You get people that they have a gift, but they just won't go on with it. Then you got the others that don't have no gifts. They're the ones that want to go. Well, if you could ever get them straight, you know. In other words, use what you're doing. Okay, all right. See, then activate the gift. And you may speak in tongues, you may shout, you may cry, you may do all things and have all kind of gifts. But it may never be used but one time. You say, well, I used to do this and I used to do that. But I just ain't doing it no more. Now, you know what you're going to start doing? You're going to blame everybody around you. Well, it ain't my fault. I got the gift. I can do it. His brother telling me one time, he said, I can speak in tongues anytime I want to. I said, not according to the Bible. You can speak in tongues, which is another language. And I said, that's what you've been doing. You've been speaking in Spanish and people are beginning to think that you're something spiritual. And I said, you're doing that. But I said, that ain't what it is. I hated I had to say it because I just didn't agree. I knew what he was doing and I didn't know a word of English. I mean, even a word of Spanish for him to tell him why. But I knew that's what he was doing. But take those gifts and let God activate them.
Amen.
And rejoice in doing those things. And be part of the body of Christ. But see, the problem is we all want to be a Brother Branham. Now, I'm going to say something. And I want you to just listen to what I'm saying, because this will be the thought for the next couple of messages, or for a while, I know. So you got the gifts. It'll work. Natural gifts. Now you got spiritual gifts and the 9 spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. And they will work. All right. Now you're coming up to where that we read, and it says that he gave some apostles or prophets, pastors. All right, we've got the 9, come up from the gifts to the 9 spiritual gifts, and now come up to a 5-fold ministry. All right? A 5-fold ministry. Then you've got a prophet like Brother Branham. You got prophets in the Bible. You got the Agabuses. You got the different ones. And they can be used to bring things. They could even tell Peter, or which one was it, Paul or Peter, that said, you're going to be bound by this cloak and taken to Rome. See? There's gifts that work. All right? And see, in that 5-fold ministry gift, is for the perfecting of the saints. But then you've got the prophet's ministry that comes in Malachi 4. That may I say it and mean it in the correct way. Brother Branham tells us a prophet stands before no one. Now, 5-fold ministry prophet, we got to deal with that just a little bit, because you got a little problem. 5-fold ministry prophet ain't the same as Brother Branham's gift. Brother Branham could fulfill the whole 5-fold ministry, because he was outside of the 5-fold ministry. Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 7, is the word of God alive for the hour that we're living. And he was the only one that could bring the word. Everybody else was to be questioned or tested or checked to see. But Brother Branham stood before no one. That's why you can't do that, even the basis I've tried to go this far. When Brother Branham taught that the White Horse Rider was the Antichrist. I mean, Jesus Christ. When he taught that, there was nobody to judge him. Clarence Larkin taught it before then, that the White Horse Rider was the Antichrist, before Brother Branham come along. But yet he was not Malachi 4. You say, well, what do you think? He's still riding a horse. He couldn't get off the horse. He was still riding the Antichrist horse. I'm talking about Clarence Larkin, because he was still a denominational person. That's why Brother Branham could not, nobody could stand before him, even though, now watch him. He said, if you find me off in one thing, he said, I'm off in everything, right? You better get that straight. You better back up from what you're doing there, because you're correcting a prophet. But that's what people's doing now. They're saying, well, Brother Ryan was wrong here and wrong there. There was nobody that could go before the prophet and get those seals. You know, go in, advance into God or something in their own doing. They couldn't do it. It took the prophet to bring the word. 5-fold ministry? Mm-mm. But there, we'll get to that in the next message. The 5-fold ministry has got to line up with every word of the prophet. We stand judged. I preach as a judged minister, that if I don't preach what the prophet preached, I am condemned by my own words. Yeah, we run around and said so-and-so, and I don't believe that. I believe it's this way. Go ahead. Just remember, Moses had the word of his day. I don't care how many pharaohs there was. Moses didn't answer to nobody. He didn't go out on the backside of the desert and try to find some other guy to help him out. He stood on his own. You just think where that prophet stood. He said, you say what I say. He said, because I'll be judged. Now watch what I'm talking about. While he was teaching the White Horse Rider as the Holy Ghost, the word had not been unveiled yet. So there was nobody. Oh, yeah, he listened to Brother Neville. He listened to those brothers and said, yeah, I enjoyed that and got things. I ain't saying he didn't get nothing. I'm saying it the way I think I'm trying to get it right. But yet there's nobody. He stood before nobody. He didn't have to answer to nobody. He didn't have to go down to the Pope to decide whether or not he could preach it like it was. Or any minister in the fivefold ministry. Because there was no minister in the fivefold ministry that could correct a prophet. Now you see why I'm so hard now with all of these ministers and what they're doing with the message and how they're killing the message and destroying the very people that for years has believed the message and tried to stay with it, and now they're just falling right and left, this churches and things. Why? Because the preachers are trying to correct a prophet. Preachers, you can't do that. You can correct a congregation. Because that's your job. But don't try to correct the prophet. You say, well, the prophet said, if I say one thing, then you go, you know. Say, well, look at there. He talked to White Horse Rider. Wrong. Who could you judge it by? You may not like that kind of language or thoughts. I don't either. But I like the truth. You can't correct a prophet. He stands before God alone. But then the fivefold ministry we'll get to later. You better be careful what you're doing with it. Well, I don't have to have no preacher. Good and bye. Don't worry us. Don't worry yourself. Go home. Say, oh, you're tough. I ain't tough. I'm just straight. I just try to tell it like it is. If you think you can straighten out Brother Branham's message, we need to follow you. I know. 40 years ago, I told them when they started doing those things. I said, would you do me one favor? I said, would you brothers that can do those things and straighten Brother Branham out, would you mind pulling off your shoe? Because I want to kiss your toe. Oh, but Brother Dale, that's being aggravating. You're being nasty. No. You kissed the Pope's toe. You're declaring him to be Almighty God. That's why Brother Branham would not do that. Right? He said, I'll do everything I can. Said they cut his pants off when he went before the king over there, you know, cut them and fixed them some way. I don't understand what he done, but he fixed them some way. He volunteered for that. He said, and I'll call the Pope brother. He said, but I will not kiss his toe. My master is the only one that gets that. What about a fivefold ministry then that's sitting down with their jigger jaggers, little things, little messages, trying to hold people together and won't fight these things that's taking place in the message around the land? It's time to stand up and say, forget it. But that brother so-and-so. Now listen, this is what gets me. I'm sorry, I'm human. What gets me is here comes somebody that's trying to straighten out the prophet in his message, you know. And they're the ones doing it, but yet they claim that they are the leaders to take over. Well, then what do you need Brother Branham for? Why don't you just step out on your own and say, I'm God. That's what I asked Brother Hansis one time about a certain place in this message, and I said, well, this brother believes this is. And I said, what does that brother there believe? He said, he believes he's God. I said, well, okay. We got that straight. So I have no reason to rally around something like that. But you see, the fivefold ministry has a great position. I'll read these things later if the prophet had to say about it, but it's trying to get you to think. The fivefold ministry stands now before God walking with the prophet's message. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've got to walk with the prophet's message. We can't have something that we think the prophet was wrong. Right? We can't do it. Mm-mm. But see, we use everything in the world to try to straighten out Brother Branham. Well, then if I can straighten out Brother Branham, I'm supposed to be God. Because that's the only one that I can find in the Bible that's above that. Right? I can't find no other big gift or some person or something that's supposed to come along and do all of these things. So then that means that I'm supposed to worship you. You're just arrogant. Glory to God. Let me stay arrogant if it's the truth. If it ain't, then whack it and tell me I ain't telling the truth. That's all I've ever said to the people of the message. Show me where I'm wrong. We've been on the internet for how many years now? Right on to 20, I guess, closer. I don't remember exactly how long. And it's went worldwide. Well, come and show me where I've missed the message. Oh, but you don't believe this. Now, show me where the prophet taught something that I don't believe. Oh, okay. But you see what I'm doing. I'm showing where you and me both are in bad shape to try to fool with the prophet's message. Me and you both. We can't correct him, but he can correct us. He stands before no one. We stand before him. You get it? What he says is law, right?
Amen.
Yeah, but that's what I just said. Come and show me. You say, well, the prophet was wrong here. Come and let's sit down and talk about it. Well, the prophet was wrong about the White Horse Rider. Come and let's sit down and talk about it.
Yep, right.
Because no one could teach that until the seals broke.
Amen.
Right.
And they broke to the prophet. Do you realize, church, that the prophet preached a message one day and that we are already judged? You know, me and you is already judged because we're judged by what we're doing with this message. Yeah, but that's just what you think. Well, come on. Let's talk about what you think. I have no fear to tell you that we'll stand before a congregation. And ever who comes out to be right, let them be right. And who's wrong, let them be wrong. Because that's me. I believe in the fivefold ministry. I believe a fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. There's no scripture that said the prophet is for the perfecting of the saints. Show it to me. But the whole Bible, now before you start calculating, the whole Bible shows you that the fivefold ministry and everything has got to come underneath that prophet. In what he's teaching. Well, he says things I don't understand. Who are you? You think you can straighten him out? No. But Brother Dale, you've got where you're just hateful. I don't see that I've changed that much, but if I'm hateful, I'm sorry. But I am 81. Right? I got the proof for it. Not to show that I got a right to be arrogant and hateful, no. But do you believe the prophet that away? Can you put everything you've got? If they come down to you now and start questioning you, because it's coming eventually. What's going to be your answer when they take the message and slap it in your face? Just like the statement I made a while ago. Brother Branham made the statement. He said, if you find me off one word, he said, then I've got to be off all the way. He said, don't believe me. Is that what he said? Well, then what are you going to do about the white horse rider that all those years he taught that? And what are you going to do with God when the prophet said, and he was teaching in the message, because it's in the church age book, and he said, if I've told you the truth, let God come and vindicate it. And God come down and vindicate it, and him preaching that the white horse rider was the Holy Ghost. Come on. Wake up. He said, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Yeah. See, God is just good enough to not have somebody to correct nothing because he didn't have to have it. The prophet stood before no one. But why can't the fivefold ministry find their place of who they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be gathered in and say, this is it? Like I told you before about it, back in the 70s, they were arguing about where the prophet was out there hunting on certain dates and this, that, and the other. But you see, the old men of the message, the one that would come through with the prophet and think, a lot of them stood up and said, we don't care what you bring. This man brought us to God. Can you say that? Can you say this message brought me to God? You don't have to practice and pour it out, do you? Got a sister back there, never been through organized religion. One day she decided to come and be one of us. Thank God. She didn't have to be trained or tutored or reprogrammed. See, God's going to lead us. He'll take us through. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about me and you getting us ready against that day. That we can see our part of what we're doing. See? No wonder the young kids don't want the message. The mamas and daddies are not living it before them. Mike, there's one thing the kids know for certain. I've taught this 40 to 50 years ago. We've got to take what he said. It's not what you think about it. It's not what you believe. What I believe, what you believe, ain't got nothing to do with it. It's what God said through a prophet. Just like I said that a minute ago. Now, come on. You know the prophet taught what he did about the white horse rider. What are you going to do when they come before you and say, well, he was wrong there? How are you going to say it? What are you going to tell them? I'm going to tell him he wasn't wrong. You're wrong. Well, no. God. You see, he was the prophet. He was not God. No. But I will say he was the closest thing there are to it in this generation and time. I ain't no problem with that. That don't make nothing no more out of him than any other human mortal, because I believe every born-again believer. I stand in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and this man was explaining how that Brother Branham was God. It was deity. I said, that brother right there, pointed over to a man. I said, he says he's got the new birth. The man said, yeah. I said, well, then, if you'll say that Brother Branham's got the new birth, like that man's got the new birth, then I'll believe in deity, because I believe every born-again believer is God made manifest in that human flesh, in the new birth. I believe you have the new birth. You have the very God of the Word living within your soul.
Amen.
Of course, you know what happened. I said, but if you'll agree that that man's got the new birth, and that makes him deity, like Brother Branham's got the new birth, and that makes him deity, I'm going to explain it to you. I said, I'll go along with you. He said, oh, no. Well, I got along with him along the way I went. I began to proceed to move on, because I was about to the bases. This Pentecostal boy at work one time told me, you know, was talking about the things of the Bible and different things like that. And I said, well, that's not right. And he said, well, that's what I believe. I said, well, I'm glad you said it. That's like, you know, that's what you believe. Because I don't believe it. You know. I believe just what I'm trying to get you to see. Because I'm backing it up all the way through the Bible. Going back even to the Old Testament to read that psalmist to where he says he would come and ascend and receive gifts. And see, that's exactly what he'd done. On the day of Pentecost, he ascended on high. And he'd come back the next, you know, few days there, come when the upper room experienced the time, he came back in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In those people that made God manifested in a human form that was meant to be. What about it? Like I was saying about that man, he said, I'm not working at Pentecost. He said, I'm not working on commanding the devil. He said, no, you're not? He said, no. He said, I'm working on commanding God. I said, he said, yeah. I said, the Bible says command ye me. I said, it don't say for you to tell him how to do it. It's not you commanding God. It's you accepting what God has said about it and believing it and standing on what God has said. You see, why can't we be that way? Because if it is true, I'm basing this last few comments on this one thing. If you believe this end time message, truly believe it, then you have to believe that there was just one prophet to come in the end time. There was one message, there was one being, and we don't need all of these running around the country claiming to be another prophet. You know, Brother Branham. But we can have the fivefold ministry that can walk in the shoe heels of the man that brought it to us.
Amen.
And believe what he said.
Amen.
And he'll answer the questions. I always wondered during the scriptures why did it said it in Revelation, you know, but it said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it began to sound and all that. I used to wonder about that. We had a meeting one day on the fivefold ministry. People talking and trying, and I tried my best to show them a little something in that. And the brother later coming up the road, he said, I've never seen you so down and out. I said, what do you mean? I said, I told them brothers the truth and even read them, thus saith the Lord from the prophet. And they wouldn't believe it. I said, I don't understand why they don't want to believe it. But in the day, and when it did, it hit me. Why does it say that? Days of the voice of the seventh angel. But why does it put a but in there like that? That's over in chapter 10. Right? Can't you see the end of chapter 3? That there was a prophet to come? Right? Chapter 3 to the 3:14. Beginning of the creation of God. A prophet was to come. And John is told to bring forth what God has given to him. And he gives each church, each place, each time, laying it down. And then he gets over here and he's standing there and he said, well, in other words, John was saying, I can't go any further because I don't have anything for it to go to. and it rung inside of him. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, his mind went back to chapter 3, and there stood Brother Branham as the angel of the Lady of Sion, not the church itself, but to the church, to the bride. But in the days of the voice, that when that man would bring the message to you and I, we'd receive that message and be able to walk therein. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. See, church, God will do things for us if we'll let him. I have been accused of being everything in the book, from a know-it-all to everything, you know. And this evasive of saying, well, Brother Dale, you're just too smart aleckly. You're just too arrogant. You're too hateful. One of these days, you'll wish you'd never said that. Because one day you'll find out that what I tried to tell you is right. Then you'll have your problems. You'll have to answer to God yourself. But I've tried my best to take this message and break it down to the people that they could see Jesus Christ living the same in you and me. And believing in a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. To bring this message to the congregation. But you know what? The congregation has got to be the message. You got your part. We just got our part. We're just doing what we can do to try to help you. Your part is to believe it. Come on, musicians. Think on these things. Gifts and calling. Gifts and calling. It comes right down to where we're standing. And the hour that we're here. And to believe the message. And say, my whole soul is sold out. Amen. This old Brother Durrett yesterday down at the funeral there. And I said, looked at him and I said, yep, anchored my soul in Malachi 4. Most of you here are old enough to be able to have been around for 30, 40 years. You know what I'm talking about. They used to tell him to come on up and sing. He'd always sing the same thing. I've anchored my soul in Malachi 4. I don't have no other place for it to be anchored. I have no extras in case we don't make it. I don't have a bank account in Swiss to where that we can house some money in case we need it. But I do believe the prophet's message. But it's for the bride to receive that message. And by way of the prophets. And just remember one thing. The reason I said that a while ago, do you realize what people are doing? I want to say this one statement. Somebody made a statement one time. It might have been Brother Branham, but it was not. It was a good statement. He said, if you go against a prophet, you know, in some way, you're going to face every prophet. The spirit of that prophet is prevalent in every prophet. So you're going to face every prophet. Well, I don't believe that Brother Branham taught Paul correctly. You're going to face Paul and Brother Branham, the angels there of each one. You're going to face every prophet down through time. So it ain't going to be a nice day. It's our chance now to receive and believe it. Well, Brother Dale, I believe the message. All right? I'm not asking you to turn cartwheels and to do this out of there. I'm asking you one thing. Can you put your whole life on what you've heard? Can you lay everything on what you've heard? And lay it there correctly that we're not trying to build up anything or any man or any point. We're just trying to tell the truth. And to believe it. Let's stand together. What do we got?
I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. That precious blood stains were put there.
Yes, And I thank God. See, I read one day where Brother Brown said, ever how you do with that ministry and the gifts and things way back 40 years ago. He said, that's the way God will judge you. When I left the Baptist church, I went to the pastor, the stand-in at that time. I went to him and I thanked him for all that he'd done to help me to find Jesus Christ. I came in the message, had problems in the church and things. I left. But I went to that brother and I said, I want to thank you for everything you've done to help me. I said, I'm serious. I said, my whole heart is based on everything. Thank you for helping me. Because without that help, we may have a lot of problems. You just thank God for what he's done for you. That's what I told them down at the memorial yesterday. I said, Brother Ray has something that a lot of you people never will have. Everybody was just looking, all the believers were looking, wondering what in the world I was going to say, I guess. And I told him, I said, he had an opportunity for me to be his pastor. And I got to be his pastor for some 30 years. I thank God. I've enjoyed it. I had a good time with him. We always had a good relationship. You see, my concern is you. To try to get you there. I ain't worried about the rest of it. Anybody got a need? Jesus shed on Calvary. That precious blood.
I have a sword.
We give him a prayer cloth to bind all together with him and believe that God will reach down and touch the church and take care of things and mount him up to where he's supposed to be and put everything in the correct order. All right? Father, we believe your word. We thank you. What our brother's asking for, we pray that you will just take care of it. And Lord, just let your grace and love be with him. He just wants to stay with that word. And that's our prayer. We commit it to you now, in Jesus' name. Just put that in your Bible. Anybody else that's coming up with
blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sins, my sickness, and my
pain. Our sister has a desire. You said you'd work according to our desires. So she desires that you'd come on the scene and this precious one. And we commit it to you now, believe in you. That you're the great I am. The answer to all things. In Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Those precious blood stains made there just for me.
Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Anybody else?